All right. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Credit and Cash Flow. Show me the money. We are here at day two with my friend Dwayne Hirsch. He is a very good friend of mine that's going to be talking to you all about the legal investing of the marijuana space. Now, a little bit about Dwayne. He is actually a licensed realtor with, is it EXP Realty?
Yes, it is.
EXP Realty in Schaumburg, and a well-known networking professional and a small business advocate. Since 2009, Dwayne has hosted more than 150 events, entertaining, informing, and connecting thousands of local entrepreneurs and inspiring business owners. Dwayne is also a key member of the Executive Board of Directors and the Policy Committee of the Small Business Advocacy Council. The SBAC is a member-based nonpartisan group that lobbies for the benefit of small business owners throughout the state of Illinois. And so thank you, Dwayne, for joining us. I'm really excited for all the information that you're going to share today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I really, I'm excited to be here.
I love it because, you know, I follow a lot of what you do on social media for the past, oh my God, years, and you do some amazing, amazing things.
Thank you.
So thank what you. Are you right now?
Well, right now, I'm in Denver, Colorado. I am at a warehouse with some folks that I've met a few months back who have become partners now in some things we're doing. I started a company called Citizen Capital Ventures in Illinois that I have now ported into Colorado, got a foreign limited liability filing in Colorado, and now I have a license to do sales of different products related to farm products and industrial hemp. So right now, because the industry is still, somewhat secretive in a lot of ways, a lot of that, like the industry itself is no secret, but the people who are in the industry have to keep a lot of security and a lot of secrecy around what they're doing. To be clear, I'm not, what I'm dealing with here is not marijuana. This is hemp, which is federally legal currently. And this is the source of where your CBD products are coming from in the marketplace. So I'm in a warehouse now where those products are being made and packaged. Uh-huh. And where a lot of the smokable hemps are being, we're processing and moving that in and out of here as well.
Oh, so they create all the hemp-based products and through that facility.
Yeah, facilities here. So what happens is here we process a lot of smokable hemp, which is a different process from, say, turning hemp into CBD oils and tinctures and things like that. We feed products to the people who actually do that. Who actually process it to turn it into oils and different things like that. Oh. The packaging and side of what goes on here is mostly built around smokable hemp and CBD products, smokable CBD, CBD cigarettes, pre-rolls and things like that. And then some of the tinctures and stuff with the oils and products, but those are processed off-site and then shipped here to be packaged by the folks that are on-site.
That is so interesting. How did you get started in this?
You know, and I hope this serves as a measure of encouragement to anybody in anything. I honestly, Jerry, I had no real interest in the cannabis industry, at least in the early part. Like I knew at some point I was going to get involved in it somehow, but I was thinking it was going to be on the marijuana side, and everybody's, you know, talking and running. So much is going on and everybody's talking about it and social justice. And now it's like becoming this political buzzsaw in Chicago. Mm-hmm. So I felt like maybe I would wait until after every, like, the smoke settles and figure out where the opportunities are. So I did, before I ended my High Park Happy Hour series, I hosted two events on cannabis as an effort to inform our community about, you know, just different, you know, in other words, here's what the law is, here's what's happening, here's the way we can work through a few of those opportunities. So I had a couple of very important people at that first meeting. One of them was the liaison of the largest black cultivation company in the country, which is called Viola, owned by NBA star Al Harrington. And then I had Edie Moore, which was she's the head of Chicago Normal, which is an organization that lobbies specifically industry issues, social equity, and thus and so. So at that event, someone asked me, they just like, hey, Dwayne, well, what are you going to do about the cannabis industry? And what's going to be the thing that you do? What do you think we should do? I was like, okay, well, I hadn't really thought about it, but I knew that I had a company and a concept called Citizen Capital Ventures. And with the encouragement of a friend, I decided to use that company to start to be an information portal and tool for people. So I started a secret Facebook group and created a membership model where people pay a one-time modest little fee just to be able to come in there and access information on not just what I think about the industry, but what I'm actually doing in the industry. And so it's a place where people can come to express their own ideas. Nobody has pitched anything further. They're not asked to invest anything unless they're interested in doing that or want to. Other than that, they're free to just kind of come in and look at what's being posted, post what they might be interested in posting. And, you know, just be a resource where we can share and kind of quiet the noise for people. Mm. You know, there's so much going on in it right now that, you know, you got so many products hitting the market. You got so much being talked about dispensaries and all this stuff. And at some point, people need to quiet all the noise and go to a place where they can just say, okay, let me just figure out what the hell is going on.
Right.
Right. And so one of the things that each of these members is able to do is to contact me directly and get, you know, have one-on-one time to talk about, you know, what's going on or, you know, because everything that people are seeing in the industry right now, a lot of people are lying about what their positions are in the industry right now. And it's not nefarious lying like they think that, like, oh, this is not happening and I'm going to tell people that it is. It's just that they don't know yet that it's not going to happen. Mm. There's a couple of dynamics that are coming across. So I'm converting now and talking about marijuana, okay, and the legalization in Illinois that's taking place on January 1st, where a lot of people have put in, over 10,000 people are putting in applications for 75 licenses that are going to be issued. Mm-hmm. And these are not the ones that are going to be open on January 1st. These are the ones that will not open before May 1st. So when the industry goes legal, and those are 75 dispensaries in the entire state of Illinois. Now, since we have a national audience on this call, there are some of your audience that are going to be in states like Colorado, where I am now, California, Oregon, and other states where they have either fully legalized or have degrees of decriminalization, where these conversations are going to be important for how they can maneuver through opportunities in their own markets, or be able to even add inputs back to this conversation about things that they've seen. Mm-hmm. So in Illinois, it's going to be a big deal because Chicago will be, in one way, the largest city of its type, particularly in the Midwest, to undergo legalization. And mm-hmm. Chicago is a major hub for tourism and travel and corporate ownership and things like that. So it's going to be a very big deal. But what's going to surprise people is that it's going to be a high price for it than what they're used to maybe seeing now. If they're buying from their local guy, a good friend of theirs or what have you, they're likely to see a price increase when it comes out. There's going to be there's a big difference in the way that each of these dispensaries are going to operate. So this is not going to be a monolithic business that we grew up with, where, and when I say when we grew up with, I mean like where, when we went to the street corner, if I went to the street corner on 79th and Ashland to buy a dime bag of weed, I pretty much knew that if I went to get it off 87th and Ashland, it's not going to be that much different in terms of the quality or the quantity, rather, of what I would be getting. Mm-hmm. But now with dispensaries, all of that's going to be different. It's going to be packaged different. It's going to look different. And certain people are going to be in a position to set themselves apart in the marketplace. It's going to be very interesting.
That is so interesting. And so you got into this back in, was it last or two? How many years have you been?
See, there's the real interesting part, right? So I've been a consumer, quite honestly, of marijuana for a good portion. I'm 48 years old. My parents were avid consumers of marijuana and sellers of it when I was a child. Mm-hmm. So I grew up in a culture where weed was the thing, like, it was just a part of your life. Mm-hmm. And even though it was illegal, you know, police officers used to come to my house when I was a shorty to buy it from my dad.
Wow.
So, you know, I always knew that there was a certain gray area where this product was operating at. And now that it's legal, you know, I'm giving you a long road to a short answer. So when I did that event, that was in somewhere around June or July. The first time I came to Colorado to actually study anything related to this business was in August of this year.
Wow.
Now, because I understand business and the principles of business, particularly where you talk about consumer packaged goods and products from previous experience, it's easy for me to grasp what's going on in the industry. It's just a matter of learning about, you know, the medicinal components, the availability of product, the state of the marketplace. And when I learned about the value of hemp and CBD, these parts that don't get you high, they're not, you know, encumbered in all this regulatory mess.
Right.
And people are not going to have to pay $1 million to open up a store to sell it. I started to see that this is probably a much better route to take, not just for me and as a businessman, but for our people as a whole who are looking to advance from this. I'm not in this to see five people get a store where they can sell weed and basically be the connect in your neighborhood. Right. That's not what this is about. It's a much bigger picture here. This is about industrialization and an opportunity to capitalize on manufacturing and things that we have not traditionally taken part in. So for instance, think about this. You had soft scene hair care products in the 70s, 80s, whatever, 60s. Mm-hmm. I used to work at the bottle works in the early 90s where we put soft sheen hair care products in bottles.
Right.
But now all of those products right now are going to have CBD in them or some form of cannabinoids and medicinal THC components inside of them, which give us another run back at that whole entire industry. Yes. So you right now can make your own line of that that becomes the iconic brand of the future. So yeah, this shit is really, really exciting. Wow. To do that. And so what I'm here working on to examine, research, and then advance models, different verticals, excuse me, that we can attack. So for instance, if you wanted to have your own line of CBD products right now, like Jerry's thing, you know, got your stuff, we can do that right now. I can source that for you right now.
Wow.
I'm working with farmers. I'm visiting in Atlanta. I'm visiting a farm partner who's about to become the first black hemp farmer in the state of Georgia.
That's so cool.
I've got a family in Mississippi that I'm going to see. They have 3,000 acres. Wow. So what I did was is to start to connect the resources that will help people to advance their opportunity. Mm-hmm. So a farmer who needs to know about how to grow and capitalize from what's going on in hemp, put together the metrics and the people who will now be able to go in and do that and take a and convert a farmer's crop and then be able to manage it all the way to growth. And now I and my partners here will become instruments of being able to sell that product into the marketplace. Mm. It's an enormous opportunity here. And it's not something that I basically just walked up here. I got introduced to somebody and I walked into it. And because I decided to dig into the business side of it, it was much easier for me to start to create a value proposition that other people would want to take part in or engage with.
That is so interesting. So your group, your what's the name of your investment group again?
Well, to be clear, it's not an investment group. It's an informational group called Citizen Capital Ventures. Now, I do have a company by that same name that would and will be taking on investment dollars or cooperative joint venture deals. Okay. That where they can earn from.
Okay.
And I'm going to show you in a minute what that product is that they can earn from right now and start making different moves in if they want to. And it's totally legal. It's not something that they have to wait till January 1st necessarily to do.
Right.
So Citizen Capital Ventures on their side now. So if you're watching this, for you, it's a secret group on Facebook that you would pay a membership fee of $60 to join. Uh-huh. You'd be able to go back and look at everything that I've posted there, articles, blogs, live videos, and different things that I've done.
Wow.
To offer my opinions and things about the industry. And now as I'm going forward, I'm going to start to continue to share the advancing opportunity in the business. So to answer the question about if someone asks me what it is that I'm working to do, if we all understand drugs, right? We understood the drug business, right? Jerry, did you grow up in Chicago?
I did.
Mm-hmm. South Side, West Side?
Chicago, Englewood, 63rd and Hermitage.
Right. So most of us either knew somebody that were in it, our families were in it, or even on a passive level, right? I got friends whose grandmothers used to sell weed out the kitchen, out a bucket, dropping a string out the window, you know what I mean? And making a bag back in the day,
wow.
Right? So the same principle, though, is alive and well on a legal level. So for instance, if gentleman A, who is the farmer, has a pound of product to sell, and we're talking about hemp now, legal hemp, which he sells in various forms. The first form that I'm going to show you here in just a second is the smokable form. Mm-hmm. So hemp that is high in CBD content, but very low below the legal limit of THC mm-hmm. level. And so this is a product that is legal. I can mail it to your doorstep today. Wow. You can walk down the street and smoke it. I actually have a license in Colorado to sell it. So these are derivatives of the hemp plant that are what you would might call the first off the bone, which we call off the bone, things that are taken off of the stalk and started to be produced in the products that will be sold into the marketplace. So I'm going to give you a couple of examples. Can we do that now?
Yeah, absolutely.
Is that okay?
Absolutely. All right,
so now this is going to look funny to y'all. Now, first thing, let me say this real quick. What everybody's going to have to do in the audience, right? And everybody is really interested in being a part of this industry. You're going to have to keep it real. Okay? I think we need to keep it real with ourselves about who we are and what we've seen and been tolerant of in our lifetime, right? So it should shock no one to say that yes, Dwayne smokes weed. But I have always smoked weed from the standpoint of being a person that's been informed about the effect and using the effect of it as a benefit. Uh-huh. So I've written papers and wrote speeches and drafted corporate documents under the creative influence of a high grade sativa product. Uh-huh. I've also gained great sleep at night from the consumption of an indica product. Uh-huh. So I think that we all got to be real with ourselves, right? So when we were all young, a lot of us used to take the seeds from the weed we used to buy from dude now, or that I would sneak out from my dad and then what they would leave in the ashtrays, and we would try to grow it, right, in the crib, right? So as a matter of education for you all, marijuana and hemp are only different because of how they are grown. So you should think of them, you should think of them like twins that are separated at birth.
I have a twin brother, by the way.
Oh, really? I didn't know that. So now, I want you to think of yourself as THC, uh-huh. and we'll think of your twin as CBD, okay? Now, the two of you get separated at birth. As THC, you have a high level of value that you bring to the world. But the value that you bring to the world causes people to have to alter their mind state on a temporary basis. Mm-hmm. And that alteration of mind state is one that is not readily accepted by the institution in our society.
Yeah.
So it's always, your greatest value has always been expressed in secret. Mm. Now here's your brother, your twin, who also has medicinal value, whose consumption makes you feel good, right? So when you consume CBD, you just feel good. You're not high, you just feel better. You like just kind of notice like, damn, I feel pretty damn cool right now. Whether you consume it in an oil or you smoke it by itself, that's what you get. It's like, seriously, it's just like, damn, all right, I'm kind of here, right? This the music sounds better, the food tastes a little better, that kind of thing, right?
Okay.
Now, so what they've begun to do is to start to blend it into where it's going to weave itself, that medicinal, that medicating of self is going to start to occur in every element of your life. So you're going to have it in your food, the edibles, the gummy bears, the steaks that you eat. The cows are being fed grain from hemp.
Wow.
To produce better marbling on steaks.
Isn't that something?
It's being fed to pets. Look up CBD pet treats. They're feeding it to dogs and cats to calm them down. You know how your dog get pissed off when you turn on the vacuum cleaner? Uh-huh. Those fire truck go down the street, lightning storms, stuff calms them down and, you know, all of that. Now, if you have a cow, a sheep, a chicken, raised off CBD grain as a food product, now you have a better quality of bird, a better quality of steak to eat. Mm-hmm. Much different thing. So this is something that's going to change. And this is the reason why I really like the hemp road, because those are the things that are done through hemp. You can't do those things on the THC right. side of the business. So hemp as a plant, as a stalk plant, your twin grows to be 7 feet tall, and every fiber mm-hmm. of his being has value in the marketplace. Mm. His buds are smokables. The trim from those buds become cigarettes. They become other things that feed extracts of great products that we'll use, the salves and the treatments that'll cure our pain. The seeds grow more, and then the stalks feed the industries that'll supply hemp wood, hempcrete, the biomass that that creates all of those other products are created from what he leaves behind. Mm. Now here you are, THC, and you are grown a bit more properly. You're in a greenhouse, you're in a controlled environment to bring the maximum value and benefit out of you. Mm-hmm. And so they separate you into, let's say, your creative self, your sativa, and then your dominant self, the indica, mm-hmm. right? So these are your two personalities almost, right? Now we'll go to this part and I'll continue that explanation. So what I'm going to open up for you, this is just a box of stuff that just literally got pulled off of a hemp stalk. This is smokable hemp. This is not marijuana, though to some of you, this may look like what we used to call homegrown, because you would grow that stalk in your house from those little plants, but when it would grow kind of funky and wide, and it didn't really smell very good. However, this stuff here is basically things that was pulled off and pulled away. But look at that right there, though. See, some of the folks that look at this, when that's clipped and trimmed a certain way, they won't be able to tell that from regular marijuana. But this right here, this product is high in CBD content. So that means that if you roll that up in a joint and smoke it, it's gonna have a calming effect. It might relieve a little bit of pain, inflammation, things like that. Wow. Now, that gets taken from a state like this, and it gets separated into these different forms. So you see this leafy trim right here? That's not garbage. That goes into another pile. And ultimately, those buds become like this.
Oh, wow.
Now, if you set this down in a street, in the middle of the street in Chicago, people would fight and kill each other over it. But that's just smokable hemp. This is just smokable hemp. So when I open up, So when I open up this bag and you look at this, look at that. And if you smell it, you cannot tell the difference. This has a high CBD content.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, some of your viewers would be salivating right now. Right. So now, this is a product. I think this is couple pounds or something in this bag. And somebody will be coming in and buying that. But what happens is farmers will come and drop off pounds and pounds of this product for us to be able to send out as samples for people and to talk to potential buyers about, right? Mm-hmm. Now, when I go in here, in this bucket, this is a lot more stuff that has actually been trimmed down to a degree, but you'll see at the bottom a lot of shake. Mm-hmm. So you see that shake right there? That goes into hemp cigarettes, joints, and becomes a part of biomass that gets broken down and made into other things. So I want you all to understand here that every crumb that you see in this container, every crumb of this stuff gets scooped, bucketed, and put and sold in some form or another. There is no waste product from a hemp plant, zero waste product, other than what you have no ability to use and maybe decide to throw away. All right, you there? You good?
Wow.
All right, I just want to make sure I ain't blowing your mind yet. Now I'm going to take you back here, and I'm going to show you something else real quick that I think you're going to really kind of trip out on. And so what happens is that every hemp takes 3 months roughly to harvest. Uh-huh. So if you have, I'm going to give you an example of something. Let's say you have 10 acres. On a farm, 10 acres. You have 10 acres on a farm. If you were growing hemp, you could grow 1,2500 pounds per acre.
Wow.
Relative to what you're doing, you might be able to sell that at an average price of $100 a pound.
Wow.
And it takes you 3 months to make that. Now, if you're in a hotter climate, you might be able to do that twice a year. Or if you do greenhouses, you could do it all year round.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Now, so what happens is those pretty buds that I just showed you, they come off of stalks. So you might want to know what gets, remember those stems and stuff we used to pick out the weed back in the day? You remember that? So don't act like you don't know, Jerry.
I know.
So those little sticks and stems we used to pick off, those are what's called biomass. Now, what you're looking at right here in these bags, that is roughly 11,000 pounds of what's called hemp biomass. Oh, and right here, I think on the bags, it'll show you, this bag is 143 pounds. Now, let me show you what it looks like. Let me find one that's open. Oh, here we go. All right, so look at this. Now, this looks like a giant bag of the old stuff your cousin used to sell on the corner for dummy bags. Yeah, like, hey, come to the back door. Like, this was that. So now all of this right here is what they take. And now this is last year's grow. This is an old crop, actually. But it, now what happens is hemp is a product that deteriorates over time. So what happens is the CBD content in it goes down. So a year after it's grown, that product does not have nearly the value as it does, you know, when it's a fresh grow, okay? So this biomass right here, even though there's 11,000 pounds of it, if we test it and we find out that it's only got 7% CBD on it, then that's going to be sold somewhere around $14 a pound. Mm-hmm. It's going to be $2 per point of CBD that's still in the product. But if it tested less, it'll sell for less, okay? Now, somebody who takes that, though, can re-engineer that in the processing lab and turn it into some oils and extracts and other things, or they can just use it for cattle feed or whatever. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, I talked to a guy yesterday that wants to buy, you know, 50,000 pounds of this stuff to start making dog treats. He wants to do a whole line of dog food based on it. So we get to feed. So answering the question for you, my idea of this is to be on the supply side of this, okay? Mm-hmm. So if we're keeping it real, I want to draw that difference out for you in a way that I think most of us could understand. So if you, I'll give you a couple of examples. Everybody knows who Pablo Escobar was, right? Pablo Escobar was the source. He was the person who controlled the farms where the coca leaf was turned into cocaine and then shipped across to America or through Mexico or what have you. And he was the owner of the marketplace for several years, right? He had, you know, so he was the supplier. He was the connect. But by the time you got down to the street and it got to dude and them, they were the ones selling pounds to everybody. But they were buying it from somebody that was connected to him. At the end of the day, it was all, if you sourced it all the way back, it was going to him or someone like him. So the Nino Browns of our neighborhood were people that were getting it from them. Mm-hmm. But the Frank Lucases of our neighborhood were the people who went there and made the direct connect at the source. Mm-hmm. That is what I am working to do, is to be the source here. I'm looking to be Frank Lucas, not Nino Brown, this equation. Right. I just want to be clear on that, because that's a very important distinction about the opportunities that you'll start to take advantage of in this, is where you really sit on the supply chain. Mm-hmm. See, Shorty and them on the corner is at the bottom of that supply chain. Mm-hmm. So the person, to be honest with you, the people that really want to own a dispensary right now, it's no disrespect for them. But at the end of the day, you the guy on the corner selling weed.
It's true.
That's yep. who you are. And you're going to have to do a lot. You know, you're going to be heavily regulated. So I would rather be the person feeding the products that your watchers start to create. Mm-hmm. I would want to be the ones that feed the lines of cigarettes and creams and oils and distillates and tinctures that people create, versus being the one working to sell that. Mm-hmm. So if you want to start a store, you could do a CBD dispensary without none of all that shit everybody talking about, $2 million for all these yeah. different things to do a stuff in Chicago and some of these other states that might go very high. Mm-hmm. So yeah, hopefully what I've been sharing there has been insightful for you. And if you look behind me, you'll see a lot of boxes and stuff that basically, there's a company here that works out of the same warehouse. Can't show you their operation. It's a secure operation, but they co-pack. And so what they're doing right now, they have a team of people, somewhere around 25 or so people that do nothing all day but roll fucking joints.
Roll joints all day.
And package them up. Wow. And they get paid damn good money to do it. So cigarette products, smokable products, and some of the liquid products are coming out of this. Is a co-packing facility, mostly for smokables, though. So yeah, people get paid to sit around road fucking joints all day. Excuse the language, but I mean, I told you we got to keep it real here, right?
Yeah, that's amazing.
So yeah, mm-hmm. And you're gonna have that same opportunity exists in Illinois, it exists back home, it exists everywhere. Because again, what I'm talking about here is a product that's federally legal now. Mm-hmm. So somebody smoking a hemp cigarette that contains no tobacco, that's not addictive, but it can give you a CBD benefit, that same calm that the tobacco supposedly gave us. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. All of that is.
Yeah.
Wow.
So yeah, it's just in the door. So, I mean, if y'all just want to, if you're a person, not to say the entire audience here is a person that wants to deal with the business on the marijuana side, there's going to be a ton of opportunities there. I mean, you can create the packaging that they put them in. Some of these dispensaries, okay, it's time to keep it a little more real. So they have these, everybody packages them up different ways, right? So some people have very complex packaging that they put them in, and some put them in very simple packaging. Like this right here is a package from a local dispensary here called Star Buds. Uh-huh. But this little very simple can, there's boxes and boxes of those in the back in the warehouse. Mm. But some of them sell them in very complex packages, nice little glass, these beautiful little wraps and stuff.
Yeah.
And they'd be really nice. But somebody getting paid to make this.
Yep.
Somebody got paid to make that logo. Mm. Somebody got paid to print that on there. And somebody got paid to make this label, which gives you the name of the product, and then the contents of it, the percentages of THC and stuff that's in the product. So you have the packaging, the marketing. So now if we're going to create a brand, right, you're going to create a brand of gummies or creams or something like that. What are you going to name it? Who's going to do the graphics and stuff like that? Now, Jerry, this is where you come in. The establishment, the adequate possession of good credit right now, both personal and business, is going to be very important to your ability to position yourself to grow one of these companies. Because again, because hemp is legal, you can finance it. You can bank it. Mm-hmm. Can't do that with marijuana.
True.
So you help somebody get their credit straight to now they got enough room where they can pull out, get the lines of credit they need to either make small plays and investments, or to take a more aggressive approach to the research they do, that's where it kind of comes out at, which is what I'm doing here now. I mean, I've been here four times in the last month for a total of maybe 2 weeks' time. And what I've done is make an investment in my own ability to learn about this, to draw out these opportunities. And every time we do a post or anything like that, more opportunities start to come. So I have people now with a grand total, black people, with a grand total of over 5,000 acres of farmable land across the country that I can find a way to tie myself into.
Wow.
That's a big incredible deal. And there's a lot more of us out there with it. So again, but that puts us in the Escobar position, not the Nino Brown position. And that's very important. I know it's funny to say that, but it's true.
Mm-hmm.
Cause sometimes we really celebrate the guys that are actually at the bottom.
Yeah.
And we're really not at the top of that chain.
Yeah.
So we want to stay at the top of that food chain, and we can do that because we can grow it here. You can't grow cocaine in Chicago.
Right.
You
know? I love that.
So right. So we're in a place where we can grow what we need in Illinois, in any state or whatever. So if we just buy the land, cultivate it, and do what we're supposed to do, which is what Crop Doctors is a part of.
I love
yeah,
that.
Then those opportunities can really, really flow through for us. So excuse me if I'm getting too excited here, but yeah, I get fired up.
This is good. This is really exciting stuff. So I could probably pick your brain all day.
You can. And you're welcome to do that. I got a little time if you want to continue.
Well, yeah, absolutely. If there's any, so what would you say are some of the top mistakes people make, or maybe even misconceptions that people have about getting started in the industry?
Well, one of the misconceptions, I think, has to do with the fact of the ease, how people perceive the ease of the industry. They think, we're just going to put in our application, and because my cousin went to jail and we got all these other things, that our application is going to be accepted. A dispensary is a complex operation. You know, if I bought a pound of weed in 1985, 86, 91, 92, I'd sit down, bag it up, make a few ounces, put some in dimes and nickel bags and stretch it out and make that happen, right? Make my profit. In this situation, that was a simple operation, right? That's you and you could do that by yourself, or you and the least of the educated folks you knew could operate and do that and make a bag every day. Now though, selling at a dispensary, when you walk in, you've got top shelf, mid shelf, premium shelf. Your product has to be good. It has to be something that, you know, just so for instance, this strand right here is called the Golden Goat. It's a high grade sativa. It's very creative. You know, you smoke this and write a book, but it's not the same at this location. It's good, but it's not the same as the another one that I got in another side of town. So all of them are different. So when you walk in, their security protocols are a little different. Like you come in, you check in with your ID. Then they either buzz you in right away, or if it's not too busy, if it's not busy, or then if it's real busy in there, they got too many people, you'll wait in a lobby area to go in. Now, some of these big fancy ones got great visuals. Like, damn, they got a screen. It's teaching you all about the products and stuff. But then you walk in, and their inventory of products is kind of limited, particularly if we're talking about flowers, smokables, weed that you're smoking. Now, they might have good edibles or good creams and topicals and stuff like that, but they may not have a good flower at that time. So they're not all the same. Their models are not the same. They don't feel the same when you walk in. The experience is very different. So you have to look at how they market it. Some of them got real nice logos, and some of them, you're like, man, this just dude new. So I'll give you an example of what happened last week. We went to a dispensary. It's got a great name. It's in a good location. You go in, it's clean. It's got these beautiful designs and screens on the wall that's running this information. They all have an ATM there because you got to buy in cash. So we go in here and we wait, and then they finally let us in. And, oh, yeah, we have Gorilla Glue, which is a very popular strain, right? That's anybody that smoke weed know what Gorilla Glue is, one of the top strains. But you know, okay, well, yeah, let's take a smell. You open it up and smell it. Don't smell very good. You're like, yeah, this probably ain't a very good one. You look around, they only had three strains available in the store. Huh. Now, I went to a place called Golden Meds the day before I left. Some young boys on it. It was a young brother, a Latino, and a white boy together in there working the counters. And they told me that they had ownership or whatever in it. But in this one, man, they had people coming in left and right. And they were kind of a mom and pop joint, another mom and pop joint, and almost like what amounts to a trailer home. Man, they got gun smoke in there. They had great products. Huh. So, and then everybody's prices are different. You know, you go in one store, they got it the same thing you're looking for. They got it for $50 an eighth. So most of y'all right now, you're in Chicago, most places in the country, and you buying black market from your homie and them, you paying about $35, $40 for an eighth. Even for the real good stuff, if you're paying 50, is probably really an incredibly good product. In these stores here, it's running the same, and in some cases less. You got stores where you can get it for 25. You can split them up and get two different strands for that same little $25, where you can stretch out your research, if you will, of different strains. So, but again, every dispensary here is very different. They operate off the same law, but in terms of the vision of the owner, very different. So if those of you that are looking to go in that business, then you got to have a real vision for what you want that to look like. Yeah. You got to have it's not just because you got it, they coming to get it. You know, you focus on good product, but you also want an experience that people can be comfortable coming back to over and over again. Now, here's what I'm going to tell you where I come into that. Even if you're at a dispensary, remember what I was telling you about you and your twin, right, Jerry? Mm-hmm. Remember you and your twin that was separated at birth? CBD and THC are that. They are twins that were separated at birth. And now both of those high-grade medicinal benefits are typically consumed separately. So when I look at you, there you are, and I see your brother, your twin, there he is over there. But what happens when you take both of those, put them back together, and consume them at the same time? It creates what is called the entourage effect. Now, I want you to think about this. Marijuana or hemp, smokable hemp, that looks as good as what I showed you here, So let's say I bought a in Chicago, the game is on, and I come and I buy an eighth for $60, $70 because the price is high. Mm. I could take this product, mix it with that, and stretch it out. Right? Mm-hmm. Now, everybody know that game. But here's the thing, because this is CBD and that's THC, you're going to begin to achieve what's called the entourage effect. And trust me, I don't care how much weed you smoked in your life. I smoke all day, every day. Smoking those together, especially if you got the right strains of it together, are really a magic carpet ride. It's incredible. They call it the entourage effect. There's actually a scientific terminology for it.
Wow.
So you can look that up. You can Google that. Again, it's entourage effect. Now, that's a part of what makes what I'm doing here very valuable, because it's going to have value to you if you're a weed smoker or if you're just a person that likes to consume THC by way of smoking it, because you know, like some of us like smoking, the act of actually smoking. Mm-hmm. So, that's a little bit of information for you now.
Wow.
So I'm looking to advance across as many of these verticals as I can find.
Yeah.
Some of them are going to be now verticals and some of them will be then verticals. They'll be the things I pull out of the rabbit hole later, but I will have started to put myself in a position now to achieve that then. So my real hope, just to be straight with you, is this. We are making and can make a lot of money in the hemp business right now.
Mm-hmm.
And my hope would be that I can make enough money in the hemp business in a reasonable amount of time to use that money to put into the marijuana industry in Chicago at some point, because people are still going to need that investment. But in my opinion, once these licenses are issued to the first holders of them, I'd like to see that frenzy kind of work itself down. Mm-hmm. And then make a well-leveraged investment going into the front. So for instance,
that makes sense.
If you invest in a marijuana dispensary right now, which I'm not discouraging anyone from doing in any way, if you invest in that now, you're investing from a position, a lot of people are investing from a position of having the fear of missing out. Mm-hmm. So you're like, I better get in now because the shit gonna blow up. It's gonna be crazy. But what if you bet on the wrong horse?
Yeah.
Dispensaries go out of business too. Mm-hmm. I talked to the cannabis coordinator for the city of Chicago. His name is Paul Stewart. And he told me that there was a group in Baltimore. They had 6 licenses that got given to people. 12 licenses and 6 of them never opened up. Because when they get approved, they got 18 months to go into business. Some of them either never raised the money or the models that they have for the business really don't get traction in the investment community and they don't get to open up. They Wow. may not have proper idea of how to really run. Mm-hmm. You got people that are applying for these licenses that have never even run a store, mm-hmm. that have no idea how any of this operates. Now wait till you start talking about, like, inside the application, which I could give you as a shareable for this conversation. I'll give you the application, and when you attach it, everybody will be able to see that each one of the points in the application have a page limit as to what you put into the overall plan. Security has a 50-page maximum. So if you're going to open a dispensary, how do you plan to keep it secure? All of these dispensaries here don't have, like, dudes with shotguns at the front door. It's not even like that. There's nobody hanging out. There's nobody begging for change or like, hey man, can you go cop me an eighth right quick? None of that stuff is going on here. I don't know how yet, but it ain't happening. I don't see it. Like most of these spots, you don't even see people hanging out at all. But it's nobody stopping them from doing that either. So everything is like, buzz you in, buzz you out, cameras and all that. You got a lot of that security, but you don't have, at least visibly, I'm sure they got some hammers behind the counter for your ass, but they don't, you know, they're not like standing there with it. Now in Vegas, Planet 13, the bigger ones like that, yes, they do. You'll see that there, like they're out there like straight DEA agents, like they are loaded with bulletproof vests and all kind of stuff.
Wow.
But out here, I haven't really seen that. Even at the corporate dispensaries, I haven't really seen that. Mm. So Chicago may be different though. That's a rowdy town. Somebody will come in there and stick your ass up. So you might have to have a little more security, but in that plan, you're going to have to express that very clearly, mm-hmm. how you intend to do that. So think about this, guys. If you're in the security business, The dispensers need you. If you're in transportation, they need you. If you're in packaging, manufacturing, in marketing, logos, any of that, they need you. They need to write your business into the plans that they are trying to get approved by the city.
True.
You get it? So think about this, right? So let's say somebody has in their contract, they got a 50-page security plan or 25 of those 50 pages. And they say that Dwayne Hirsch is the engineer of our security plan. Well, they're going to say, okay, who the hell is Dwayne Hirsch in security? And if I got a track record in security, that's what they're going to be looking at.
Yeah.
So the security company that they hire just can't be any damn body. It's right. Got to be written in. The applicant who has you written in. So let's just say if you were a Dynamite financial advisor, vetable, you got a Series 63 and all of the other requisite licenses. Or if somebody was to put me, there's a better plan. You're supposed to have somebody for real estate on your team. Now, they can use a real estate agent that's new. You can use anybody.
True.
And say, yes, we have somebody for real estate, and this is our plan. We're going to get a 70 by 80 warehouse, whatever. When they look at the real estate person, that real estate person got to be real.
Right. True.
Dwayne Hirsch has a track record that some people don't. Some people's track records and gravitas in the industry is much greater than mine. So that also is going to play in is who does these things, in other words. Mm-hmm. So if you're doing marketing, you know, we have a company that's been in business for 15 years or whatever doing our marketing. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. The accountant is who? You know, I ran into Toy Hutchison the other day at an event in Chicago, a big cannabis event that they had. And for those who don't know, she's the, I guess who they call the cannabis queen or czar of the state. So she's the person in charge of making sure that this industry gets off to a smooth start as much as possible in Illinois, and that it can graduate into its eventual, you know, development and process, if you will. So she told me a lot of things that validated and verified things for me that I've been thinking about and noticing here. And I think that when the law does change in Illinois and other places, there are going to be people at the outset that are going to find themselves very upset. Mm. So here's the last thing I'll tell you. I was told when the first time I came here, right, I was sitting in the front here with these guys, and I'm talking, I'm asking them, all right, man, so what do we do about this? What do we do about that? And can we do this? Can we do that? And the guy said, listen, man, calm down. Like, literally, he was like, bro, just calm down. He said, listen, I want you to understand that this industry is so new that everything is possible. Oh. Nothing is off the table as long as it's within the framework of the law.
Yeah.
So whatever you have in mind. So now let me tell you how that was verified for me. The other day in Chicago, what was that? What's today? Friday? That was Tuesday night in Chicago? Wednesday? I went to the cannabis event there. And one of the guys who's from Denver, this guy said that he started his first dispensary here with $5,000. He had a building, a plant, and a light. And now he's a multimillionaire. Got several dispensaries and has built out a franchise model for dispensaries. He started with one plant and $5,000. They're going to make your ass start with hundreds of thousands. But that's another story. You could bring me back for the political commentary later. But what he said, though, up there, he talked about how every industry had this moment that was the identifying element of its stratospheric rise in the American society. So the day that they introduced the iPod was like a big moment in that for Apple as a company. The introduction of a certain type of computer for Microsoft or operating system or whatever. All of these industries have these tipping points, right? That make them, they go. He said that marijuana has not yet had that. Mm-hmm. And it won't. It may not for a considerable amount of time unless you are the one that makes it. Mm-hmm. So whatever is in your mind right now in this business, whatever idea you have, what you could do with it, or what you might think to do with it, it's possible. Mm-hmm. They're making what you know as hardwood floors out of hemp. There's a lawyer in Chicago, a black woman, who's about to dedicate a large portion of her savings, earnings, and thus and so to building houses out of hemp using what's called hempcrete.
Oh, wow.
you can build cars and roads and clothes for this. I'm working to be able to work with fabric makers to start creating an affordable fabric that you can make from hemp that wears better than linen. It's a better wick than linen. And when you're sweating in the summer, much better material to keep you cooler than linen. And it's more absorbent than linen and stronger as a material, but it lays. Ooh, it's nice. Wait till y'all start seeing hemp fashion come out. So I want to be at the bottom of all of that. So that hemp skirt you're going to be wearing next summer, I want that to come from hemp that came off out of a farm that I had a part in that. So you get that, right? And that's where you can start to see that shake out when you look at the larger industrial components of that. I can't feed weed to my dog, but I can feed him a CBD dog biscuit. Mm-hmm. So that in and of itself is billions of dollars in potential market space.
That's true. That's great.
So if you are going to invest your dollars, where would you put them at? You know, I would encourage everybody to look at the stocks related to marijuana. There are going to be a lot of stock plays out there, but I'm not giving nobody no advice on nothing specific in that, because that's not really the angle I'm playing. I got into this to start looking more at how I could play a direct angle to enrich myself versus the peripheral enrichment that you get from stocks in that. Yeah. If I find a hot one to play, I'll play it. But at this point, I'm figuring out how to make that work by way of my own hands.
Right.
and it just so happens that the real estate model that I work under in EXP Realty really allows me the freedom to do that because of the way that works. So it's been great. And so I hope that what I've talked about here has been informative. If you want to know any more, you're going to have to join Citizen Capital.
That's right. Y'all, as you can tell, Dwayne is very, very knowledgeable in his space and very committed and passionate about what he does.
Keyword, passion.
Passionate, very passionate. Passion. I would think only person that passionate can know so much in such a short period of time.
Exactly right. Exactly what you just said. Yep. I am passionate about it.
Yeah, you
are.
Very
passionate.
It shows. It definitely does. And so, guys, as you're watching this, I'm sure you've probably dropped your mouth a couple of times, or your eyes probably went buck a couple of times during this presentation, this informational session. And so what I want to encourage you guys to do is definitely connect with Dwayne. I'm going to be putting all of his contact information at the bottom of the
video,
so that you can connect with him, you can join his group, you can get more informed so that you can make the decision that's best for you. So if you want to get into hemp, if you want to get into some legal marijuana investing, you can figure out what would be the best step for you. Connect with Dwayne, connect with all of his resources, education, so that you can ultimately just change the game for you and your family. So thank you again, Dwayne. I really appreciate you taking out the time with me today. It's really, really great. Really great.
Right. Right. I want to make sure, if you can give me one more minute, I want to try to prove a point to your audience real quick. Okay. Give me a second. I'm going to prove a point about something to your viewers real quick. Give me just a moment. Bing, 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 bing. Oh, you know what? That one might be in there. Let me see. So what I'm going to do is I am going to take a small piece of smokable hemp and sit it next to marijuana and see if your viewers can tell the difference. All right, so we're going to turn this around. We're going to put all that together right there. Some of what you see there is marijuana, and some of it is a high grade strand of smokable hemp called sweetgrass. And I would challenge anybody on that's viewing this to tell me which one of the six buds that I've laid, is that six, five? I laid six buds out there. Which one of those six buds is smokable hemp? Now, because you cannot tell that difference, that's one of the things that I'm telling you about the smokable hemp side. Now, what you're going to do is you're going to take a 50-50. If you got access to smokable hemp in the city you live in right now, you're going to take that smokable hemp and you're going to mix it 50-50 with your favorite strand of marijuana, roll it together, put it in a bowl together, smoke it, consume it together, however you will. And I hope that they'll come back and give you feedback and tell you that I was right about what that's going to do for them, okay? And then they'll be able to come back to me to get it.
to get that entourage right. effect.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, I remember
that.
Yes, where we on, all right?
Thank you so much again, Dwayne. Your time is very, very appreciated. Very, very busy man. And so I really appreciate your time.
Yeah, and I'm sure they'll forgive me if my eyes are a little red, won't they? No, I'm just tripping. We're having fun with that, though.
That's funny. Well, guys, yeah. as you, I definitely want you all to click the link below, get in tune with Dwayne's, the Citizens Capital Ventures group, right?
Right, so the link you should post there for them to go and join the group is DwayneHirsch.com / Citizen Capital Ventures. Uh-huh. Now, when you make the payment to join the group, that's going to be processed through PayPal. It'll come to me as a direct message, and then you can send me if you're not a Facebook friend of already or whatever, I just need your Facebook name or whatever, and then we'll give you the invitation to the group. You'll go back through the group, scroll through all of the information. All of it is still going to have value to you, not just what was posted today or yesterday. Read back through it, and then you'll be able to connect directly, and we'll be able to talk about how you can get involved with what we've been talking about here today. You too, Jerry.
Yes, I am definitely going to be, that's my next step.
Right.
Yes, my friends, connect with Dwayne. This was an awesome, awesome informational session. And so remember, this is only going to be available for the next 24 hours, my friends. So if you didn't catch all of it or you just want to get just unlimited access to this, click the link below. Get your all access pass for $97. After the event is over, the price will raise to $197. So if you want to get all of the sessions, all of the information, and you want an unlimited amount of time, click the link below. Get signed up so that you can have unlimited access to Dwayne. Get into his group, get connected, get educated, and change your lives. So thank you again for joining us for Credit and Creations. I will see you all next time.
Thank you.